Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dadley boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of SmackDown on Fox. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw and SmackDown, but also the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to preview SmackDown. And although every day is a Good Friday when it's SmackDown, this might be slightly outdated when it comes out. We've had to record this the day before on the Thursday because here in England, we've got a four-day weekend, Michael Hamflett. More time to spend with the kids.
Well, everything's still closed. I can't wait. I love how we have to do this caveat because we're recording it on a Thursday rather than a Friday, when often we have to do that caveat on a Friday when we're recording on a Friday. Like, we're recording this 6 hours before SmackDown airs and they haven't pitched anything, so I guess we're going to have to make something happen. People are quite used to that specific apology by this point. Yes, it is a... Well, this is the doubler, isn't it? This is the bank holiday doubler. Everybody without children gets ready to stretch their legs for 4 days, not very far out of the house at the moment, so you're not going to go for much of a walk, so maybe just stretch your legs inside the living room, while every parent wonders how the hell they've got to do a double weekend, back-to-back days, while everything remains shut in pandemic-era UK. But for any of our listeners across the pond, or indeed anywhere else in the world, this is just the penultimate SmackDown before WrestleMania. This is just a follow-on from a huge change to the Universal title match. This is just, I don't know, something for Charlotte Flair and Bayley. But it's ultimately, it's theoretically quite a big week, even if it might accidentally pass without incident here in the UK.
I have to say, I was absolutely, I talked about this at the start of the week, I was absolutely buzzing after SmackDown last week. Maybe because just WWE did the thing that I want to happen. You know, the build's been iffy, to say the least, but we're getting Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. Yes, please. And they just went, yeah, no bollocks, none of the Kofi stuff. Where are we going to give you what you want? Aren't we? No. Postman Pierce, legend that he is, just went, he's a triple threat. And the story they told, I know some people aren't happy with the way that they've treated Edge, but I give them more of a pass, maybe because I've just been having to watch Raw every week. I go, oh, it's not as bad, it's SmackDown now. But I love the fact that the potential of Daniel Bryan being put into a Universal Championship match not only made Edge snap and he's now unhinged, but prior to that, drove him into the arms of bloody Roman Reigns. He turned up and was like, look, I know you're a massive knobhead and I hate you. And I chose you and said, I'm going to split you out of sodden shoes and take the title off you at WrestleMania. But well, at least you've got Daniel Bryan. So maybe we should work together on this one. I really think that they've not salvaged it, that's underselling it, but they've really made chicken salad out of, like, slightly gone off chicken salad.
I like how you got there. That Edge going to see Roman Reigns thing last week was brilliant because what that established, kind of tacitly, I guess, was that that's now a thing. Roman Reigns is so established as the real authority figure on SmackDown. People kind of turn up to his office to try and get a minute with him. It's that thing about the mafioso not being able to turn down a request on the day of his daughter's wedding or something like that. Like, Roman Reigns is like, right, fine, I will see you now. Like, he's gone from, like, the tribal council to the local council. Like, he has to take meetings with other wrestlers. He did it with Apollo Crews, now he's doing it with Edge. Yeah, Edge has been pretty thick. Edge won the Royal Rumble, and I know he's been away 10 years, but as well he should know from entering 2020's Rumble, if you win it, you get a title shot. Your job is done. He should have just sat still and enjoyed the fruits of his labour and waited and got his match. However, he got himself a bit arsey with Daniel Bryan. Why didn't he just let that match happen and fight the winner? It could have been Daniel Bryan. It could have been Roman Reigns. He's made his life harder for himself, illogically, by kind of like almost triggering a triple threat by saying, no, it's not about you, Bryan. It's about me. And Bryan could have been like, I know it's not about me, but what if I win? Then it can be about both of us. There's a lot of plot holes here. There is. But I did like where they arrived at last week. I liked Edge lowering himself almost to have to speak to Roman Reigns. What was once this obsession with beating Roman Reigns has instead become remembering that his obsession should be about the Universal Championship. So he's looked to become a bit of a snake in the grass, I guess, by going to Roman. It's probably not going to work out for him. WWE have found a perfect babyface for the return of a live crowd.
Oh,
has to be Daniel Bryan's win. It has to be. They could not have it go on last, I guess, and have Roman retain. I think
that is the maddest thing I've ever heard. That's madder than suggesting Bianca and Sasha are going to main event Saturday.
Just say, like, if it goes on last, Daniel Bryan's got to win.
Yeah,
they've done it. They've found their baby face. It's just a baby face that was there all along, and not the one that had been retired a decade. It's weird. It's all really weird. But yes, I quite like unhinged Edge. I quite like, because if you're going to be serious, at least do it as a bad guy rather than a good one. I think that's the main thing with this Edge character. If you absolutely have to be so bloody poor-faced about everything, at least let us enjoy booing you rather than just not wanting to cheer you.
Yeah, I love Edge. It's great to have him back, and I popped my little tits off every time he did come back. And it was such a shame when he got that horrific injury, of course, and disappeared from our screens again. But years and years and years of booing Edge made me think, it's just also like putting a nice old pair of slippers on or trainers on or whatever. I feel a lot more comfortable now of like, right, definitely boo Roman Reigns. Kind of boo Edge. You can see his motivations, which is the best heels. Again, with Roman Reigns, that applies too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then, yeah, he's one of the few pure white meat baby faces who, yes, 2 years ago, I was booing out the sodding building at WrestleMania, but still, it's Daniel bloody Bryan. You know what? Like, it's very rare that I can take my analytical head off with what we do and just go, I'm just back to being a kid again, enjoying wrestling. And I know I should have more problems probably with the kayfabe story of Edge and the way this has all come together with the Universal Championship, but not only am I so excited to see what these three men produce and defy the logic of triple threat matches, which always are a bit, right, you go and sit out of the ring for a bit and I'll do something with this guy. I can't shake the constant reminder of all three of these guys shouldn't be here in terms of all three of them have been told, yeah, I think that's it for you. You know, it's maybe slightly different than the Roman Reigns situation. We were always kind of hopefully would eventually return, but like, they've all had devastating news over the last few years. And yet here we are with potentially one of the most heartwarming WrestleMania matches ever. I'm just really excited about it. And I prefer unhinged Edge than good guy Edge, if I'm honest.
Easter eggs.
Easter Edge, yeah.
At Fiend's Mind for Lamau Egg, ruining yet another WrestleMania main eventer in one tweet. Like, he's managed to ruin the Fiend. Easter Edge. They should probably now lean on that more. Now that they've kind of arrived at the triple threat, it's probably time to tell that story, maybe through Bryan. Maybe, like, have them all be stood in the ring and just be Bryan to be the one to deliver the exposition of, did any of us actually think this match was ever going to happen? Like, why can't you two take a look at the bigger picture here and realise what an occasion this is. And the fact that neither of those two, Roman Reigns or Edge, can look at the bigger picture is going to make them bigger dickheads, isn't it? Mm. Like, Brian can say, this is not really about any of us and the belt. This is about all of us and the belt. This is about, if this match is going to be the one that the people get to see for the first time, just think, this match shouldn't have happened. And it's nothing to do with the pandemic. It's to do with the fact that we were all finished.
Yeah,
there's a lot they can, touch upon.
We all kind of knew Edge was going to win the Royal Rumble, though, didn't we? Because we all knew where WrestleMania was going to end up. And he is the rated R superstar.
Superstar. He's like this bonus pirate there at the end.
Yeah, there you go. Let's talk about the women's title match. It's only taken him 3 months, but they got there in the end. Let's have Bianca Belair just beat other people, show how good she is, so much of a threat she is to Sasha Banks. With that in mind, again, the day beforehand, they may have announced something and just put this completely out of the picture. I've heard rumours of Charlotte Flair showing up on the blue brand and possibly even being added to this match, which is crazy to consider. I don't think it's going to happen. Even if she does show up, I don't think it's going to be in the world title picture. But what do you reckon, Amplet?
I don't think she's going to be put into that match. And I think that story took some life because of a needlessly divisive article that went up somewhere on the internet that said, you know, I think Charlotte Flair needs to be added to this match or something. It was just there to annoy and get clicks through, pissing people off and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's why that's maybe out there in the ether. Charlotte Flair turned, I can only see this going one of two ways with Charlotte Flair. And, well, three, I guess, because the third one is she might just not be on WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, as you can talk more about this from a personal experience. And I don't want to speculate on the severity of her COVID diagnosis. Mm. But don't just think, well, she's an athlete, she got COVID, and the 2 week period's up, and she's better now. Like we've seen here in the UK, we've seen some footballers just not reappear for their clubs. I know someone like Cody Garbrandt from UFC just talk about how it put him on his ass for weeks, if not months. This isn't something of, he had the sniffles, he's not got it anymore. Charlotte had COVID, but she's better now. Like, I'd rather her get better and be the perfect opponent for Rhea Ripley at SummerSlam, in my opinion. You want to talk about WWE doing long-term bookings, than WWE putting her in to, I don't know, make good on a beef that's going on with Andrade and sell a few more tickets. But, like, this is a triple threat I do not want. Certainly not on the SmackDown side of things. But yeah, what do you reckon? You've obviously had more of an experience with COVID than myself, and you can talk about how this isn't just, well, you've had 2 weeks, back you go.
Yeah, if anything, it kind of, so like, it won't fool people listening to this podcast to know that I am not an athlete. Certainly not an athlete of Charlotte Flair's caliber. But it's weird when you are at least of the age where you can obviously, thankfully, make a recovery from COVID and it doesn't leave you in a hospital or something like that. It's almost easier to go through than it is to deal with after the fact, because you're kind of surprised. You live with the fear of catching it. You catch it. And then you go through that 2 week period or whatever, quarantined, watch a lot of Netflix and just think, actually, this is all right. This is, I'm coping, you know, like I don't feel on death's door. Again, this is just my experience. I can't speak to anybody else's. And then the follow-up months have been a nightmare for trying to get back out running, which I like to do, or walking briskly even, or like kicking the ball around in the field with the kids or whatever. It leaves something with you. It really does. And I like amazing respect for the athletes that can just get back on the horse, as it were, because their bodies are so finely tuned or because they believe they're just better. If Charlotte needs a rest, I hope she's just given a rest. If she wants to go back to work, she should go back to work. But like, if she needs a rest, I'm glad that it's out there that she's had COVID so that WWE will feel obligated to give her the rest that she needs to get better. Because, yeah, it can be pretty brutal. And in terms of WrestleMania, they've only just got around to get us back to kind of where this bullet point started, they've only just got around to making Sasha versus Bianca good.
Mm.
So to then, I don't know, complicate things and make things convoluted with a triple threat. This is not the same as the WrestleMania 35 main event and how they inserted Charlotte Flair into it. It's not the same as that at all. It could well main event night one. I hope it does. It's feeling unlikely, but I hope it does. But this is different to that. And I would like that to be left well alone. For Charlotte, she either surprisingly boots down the door in an edition of Ding Dong Hello, where Bailey is just campaigning for a WrestleMania match, an opponent, and says, hello, and it's her, and there's your match. An Insta match booked because it'll just be too good to fail. Or let's get silly. Let's get daft. Let's go crazy, as Prince would say. WrestleMania is going to have the tag belts on the line, probably in some sort of gauntlet eliminator, that kind of thing. Like a tag team turmoil type thing where, you know, Nia and Shayna put the belts on the line against Team A, Team B, Team C, and include this could indeed be Bailey's role on the night. And then, yeah, build your hopes from one direction because I'm taking you a completely different one.
I know.
Charlotte appears on the stage with a mystery partner, and it's Becky Lynch. And Charlotte and Becky Lynch win the tag belts. Win the tag belts in a huge WrestleMania moment. And then that's that. And we worry about what's actually going to happen for both of their careers going forward when they lose the belts the next night on Raw. But what a moment in front of the crowd. She's got a partner. It's a long-standing frenemy in Becky. And they save the day for the belts. Because then you've got Becky Lynch beating Shayna Baszler at two consecutive WrestleMania. But some daft bollocks like that. My gut feeling is if she's fit to work, they should just run Charlotte versus Bailey.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Bailey's role at WrestleMania. Inexplicable, less than 2 weeks away, that she's not on this card after what she's achieved over the last 12 months, in my opinion. But yeah, the moment I heard that story, and Charlotte versus Bailey, obviously, just like Seth versus Cesaro, doesn't need a build. Seth and Cesaro's build's actually been really good, in my opinion. But it's like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Cool, let them do what they want. Give them 15 yeah. minutes. They'll be great, obviously. But there's a bit of me, and I, do you know what? It needs. I'm 32 now, and it needs to. I need to kill it off. It's the hope that kills you, as you know, as being a football fan. Sunderland and Chesterfield, respectively, not giving us a great deal of rewards on that hope, but still. I sat there the other day doing the news and the rumours and speculation about this women's tag team title match being added. And I'm not 100% sure of the details, like you say, whether it's going to be some sort of gauntlet eliminator on the first night, followed by the winners of that challenging on the second night or what. But let's just imagine that you've got Fatal 4-Way, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Lana and Naomi, okay. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, or Natalya and Tamina, if you want to bloody do that, because of what's happened on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. One final spot, Bailey and a mystery partner of hers. And Bailey sits there and thinks, seem to remember the tag titles being on the line 2 years ago. And there was a very successful team at snatching that at the very last second. And one half of them's on this show and isn't on WrestleMania. Please, can I have Bailey and Billy Bloody Kay as a tag team winning the women's tag team titles? Is that too much to ask? I know I've campaigned for this before, Hamlet, but if we're not going to get Bailey versus Charlotte in a banger or the madness of Charlotte and Becky Bloody Lynch, which I don't know where you pulled that from, but I like it. Why not that?
Do you know what? Like, I don't think it is as much to ask as you probably think it is. I actually, it's reasonably logical. The pieces are sort of in place. As you said, like, Bayley not being on the WrestleMania card at this point just adds, in my opinion, credence to the theory that WrestleMania isn't maybe what it was. Don't pin all your hopes for all your favourites on WrestleMania. I wanted my favourite wrestlers are Bayley and Sasha Banks in WWE, and I wanted them to have the match when it made the most sense to have the best match, and it happened. It was a Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. Didn't need WrestleMania. Bayley's push, Bayley's amazing SmackDown title reign, doesn't need a WrestleMania match here to vindicate how good all of that was, because it's already happened. It already existed. So it isn't the reward for a great year of work as they like to position as. It's just sometimes the timing doesn't work out. She should be the host, let's be honest. Should be her and Titus O'Neil.
Yes.
Not like she's become this great talk show host over about 3 weeks. So she could be the host with Titus. Nobody would miss Hulk Hogan. But we are where we are with that. So from a logic point of view, I really like it, because it would take one promo for her to do that kind of ding dong. Hello. Has anybody noticed that I'm not on this card?
Mm.
And then Billie Kay, the woman that has been looking for a partner slash friend for months.
Yes!
To find one with like 8 days to go. It's sort of brilliant. It's sort of perfect. There's also a really good bit you could do where Bayley gets added to this. Let's just book it as a tag team turmoil, because that allows for the silliest fantasy booking, where she says, I've gone to the trouble of getting a mystery partner. I think you all know who it is, but I'm going to save it for the night. And let's just say she's a part of my WrestleMania history, and that allows you to do your fantasy. And Billy Kay's there all geared up on the night, and she's like, I can't believe it. I can't believe this is my moment. Bayley did a thing on Renee Paquette's podcast where she said that the Iconics slept on Bayley's floor when they first moved to America.
That's amazing.
They had nowhere to live. They couldn't get paperwork, and Bayley put them up, like, because they're just signing, they're nowhere else to go. And Billy Kay can just be like, I cannot believe this has come good. And then Bayley just does that sort of, you know, that I'm on a boat reveal where it's and T-Pain, and it's Peyton Royce. And the partner's Peyton Royce. And Bayley and Peyton Royce go and have the tag match, and Billy Kay just left there holding a clipboard, scratching her head.
Oh, don't do this to me. I'll still be very happy, obviously, but I feel like maybe not as much as Bayley. Let's not get carried away here. But they both deserve to be on the WrestleMania card for very different reasons, Billy Kay and Bayley, and let's hope that that happens. Speaking of WrestleMania, still no announcement at time of recording again regarding the SmackDown tag titles. By the way, normally when we have these on Raw, I go, oh, great, Jeff Hardy versus, I don't know, The Miz or whatever. We've seen this a million times. Skip, skip, skip. I was enthralled by Dolph Ziggler and Rey Mysterio last week. And that bit where he snatched him out of the air, I don't know why it wasn't the finish, in my opinion. He snatched Rey Mysterio out of the air and hit the zigzag after Rude's sort of distraction. Mm. Oh, what a finish that would have been. But, you know, Rey Mysterio got a pinfall over one half of the tag team champions, which adds to that. Just give me the Fatal 4-Way tag team ladder match, please, because the teams are there and it's great and all right. Okay, Vince, you can have Otis breaking the first rung of the ladder because he's a big fat boy, because you're going to want that. But that's surely got to be a WrestleMania match that's been added, because still no word on the SmackDown tag team title match.
Yeah, you'll get the graphic this week, or the confirmation of it or whatever. Feels like the ladder match. They don't have to. It just sort of seems like the kind of thing they like to do is have multi-man ladder matches. It allows for a lot of big ideas and big spots to come to fruition. And you're right, I agree. I think the matches have been tremendous. I think they've a run of very good to occasionally great different matches, combinations of matches between these various tag teams to justify this four-way. Better, I would say, than a lot of the mid-card stuff we've probably had on NXT. I just think there's been a bit of snap to them. I think there's been, it feels like all the wrestlers are in the mood for it. They like, what's interesting about this, because Fatal 4-Ways and Triple Threat Feuds are hard to book, because typically the motivations of at least one of the wrestlers feels a bit forced. You've always got like a proper rivalry and then one or two hanger-oners. I kind of believe the intra-match permutations here are like, I've seen enough to know that Gable, like the Alpha Academy, want to win the belts, but also that they've kind of got this long-standing feud with the Mysterio boys, you know, the father and son. So they should be wanting revenge on Otis and Chad. Ray and Dominic want to win the belts for that, like, WrestleMania moment, father and son winning the belts together. Dominic gets his first match in front of a crowd and it's with his dad. As I've already said to you, they can do the spot where he puts Ray on his shoulders to try and win the belts. And then they get knocked off the ladder. So that foreshadows the eventual electric chair on the ramp that we're going to get in 6 months.
Yeah.
Street Profits want the belts back. And what an amazing sight it would be to see real fans holding those cups again, holding the cups up in the air when the Street Profits win the titles back. I dare say it might mimic one of your all-time favourite matches from TakeOver 25. That moment, that like the sheer joy on Montez Ford's face as he grabs the belt and the crowd split up as they are holding the cups and enjoying the moment. I think this is all pretty there for the taking. Like, actually make this one official. I want to watch this one.
And it reminds me, I can't remember what match I'm thinking of. It was an old promo where they basically laid out, this guy's beating this guy, beating this guy, this guy's beating this guy, and this guy's beating this guy. It's the round robin of, like, you can just show all the results. You've had singles matches. You had the triple threat last week where I believe Gable and Otis had Apollo beat Cruz in the Street Profits, if I'm not mistaken. They're got all that there. It's right there. And I realise there's no other tag teams left for SmackDown after that. Well, that's a problem for another day. And that is the WrestleMania match I would book. One final thing we know. Oh, please, God, if something happens in the next 24 hours. One final thing we know is happening on SmackDown tonight. And we were worried, but we got it, is Sami Zayn's red carpet premiere featuring Logan Paul. We'll get to the Logan Paul stuff in a second, but oh, what a joy this is going to be, and a convoluted way of getting Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but I, for one, could not care less.
For one, I think the red carpet should be red and black checkerboard, like his Sami Zayn logo. Customised red carpet for his premiere. I fully expect something like, because it's the Thunderdome and they kind of need to dress the set as best as they possibly can. Despite having a ginormous Titantron, Sammy's going to want this on various other screens, perhaps on the screens of the Thunderdome itself. So he's going to, like, turn those faces off. Get those faces off right now. Get my film on. And then we're going to get to see the start of the documentary. And Kevin Owens has done something to the tape, hasn't he? Like, you're going to see the first 10 seconds of it and Sammy's going to be beaming. And then it's either going to make that noise, whether the tape's been cut or it's been edited.
Right, why?
And like Logan Paul's there for it, and Sami Zayn's like, he's either there or he's at least on one of the screens. Thanks for being here in person, for, you know, being on hand for my premiere and all that sort of stuff. And then you're just gonna get Sami Zayn's music over top of footage of Kevin Owens beating him up over and over again over the years. Power bombs into the ring apron, all those fist fights they had, every time that he's just like, when he threw him out, like when he's thrown him over out of battle royals, things like that. Just all the spots of Kevin Owens battering Sami Zayn over, like, with the sound, either the soundtrack of the original documentary or Sami Zayn's music, which I think is funnier because it's so upbeat. Da, 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 da. Just Sami getting just selling, getting just humiliated over and over again by Owens. Something like that to ruin the premiere and embarrass him in front of Logan Paul.
Yes, I will say this one thing regarding Logan Paul. We know why they've got Logan Paul on there. He is a massive, massive YouTube star. He's the guy, if you were unaware, I think was meant to fight Floyd Mayweather at some point. He did some YouTube boxing. He fought KSI from here in the UK. He has got a checkered history without question. He is the guy, Logan Paul, who a few years ago filmed in that suicide forest in Japan. I'd like to say, as a very, very vague observer of this sort of thing, he does seem to have changed his ways slightly, and he's certainly not as bad as his brother Jake, who is a top knobhead, and not in a good way, not like MJF or something like that. He's just a bell end. We all know why he's there, but I just wouldn't have him, like you say, I wouldn't have him feature much. Like, I don't want, and I swear I heard he's going to be involved at WrestleMania, isn't he? I do not need Logan Paul as the special guest referee of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Just,
well, I mean, it's WrestleMania. He's a good get, isn't he?
Hmm.
Like, for a WrestleMania show, he's a good. Something about Bad Bunny, you know. I was thinking about the various discourse that you get about Bad, just how successful will the Bad Bunny relationship be, I guess. And I was thinking about the other week when Dua Lipa did that performance. And half the tweets were about Dua Lipa's awesome performance and half of them were about Bad Bunny reacting as if he was like a YouTube star doing a reaction video, It's like, yeah, Dua Lipa was great, but have you seen Bad Bunny nodding along? That was like, that was where half of the attention was. And I thought, oh, Christ, he's just a lightning rod for stuff, isn't he? Like that, that something in the WrestleMania match is going to be gift or clipped, or there's going to be a nice HD picture doing the rounds really quickly. And that's that kind of like attention that probably WWE have lost in the last, certainly in the pandemic era, just nobody's paying attention. Logan Paul is going to have that same effect, I feel. I sense that whatever happens with him on SmackDown this week, he's that kind of guy. He's a Twitter conversation guy. Those numbers, for whatever they're worth, tend to like direct towards people like Logan Paul. So his segment on SmackDown is going to be spoken about. And if he is there to promote an appearance at WrestleMania, even if it feels a bit nonsensical, it's probably going to work really well.
I'm trying to remember if I saw this. Yeah, he did. He did a flat earth thing, Logan Paul. But I can't remember whether it was, the bits I'm here saying here says it's slightly more satirical than we expect. But maybe that's a nice way of playing into it. If Logan Paul, if that was more tongue in cheek, I don't know. I've never watched it. I've got to be honest.
You sure that wasn't his brother in the Jake community?
The question is, what was Logan Paul doing before? And that was filming people
suicide. What was he doing with Jake Paul?
Maybe Sami Zayn has misread this and thinks, look, a top conspiracy theorist Logan Paul here, and he just completely no-sells it. Basically, Logan Paul's listening, you have to be above Gronk. There's your level, right? Yeah. 2 weeks before, well, less than 2 weeks before WrestleMania. I think anyone can be above that Gronk debut. So, but just don't make it about, have Logan Paul there, like you say, involve him in some way to try and sell WrestleMania. But this is just, what a load of bollocks. But here you go. Here's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in 9 days or whatever it is.
Yeah. I think, like, I'm not looking forward to this. A tremendous amount of trust in Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens to pull off whatever daft idea they've got. Logan Paul has an appeal. I'm not blind to understanding that. And Zayn in particular, like, you have to consider this run the best thing he's ever done on the main roster. You know, he's having the best run of his main roster career. So the WrestleMania match, in contrast to the Bayley thing, this WrestleMania match is kind of a reward for that. The feud might not be up to much, but the match itself, the prestige is a kind of reward.
Very interesting to see how it plays out, and it'll be a highlight of SmackDown, which, of course, Phil and Gareth will review tomorrow. But let us know your thoughts ahead of SmackDown tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, of course. Lots of stuff coming your way over the next week or so as we head hurtling towards WrestleMania 37. But this has been the SmackDown preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.